to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. It's called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 26, 2024. I'll ask Councilman Bell to read the mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Councilman Bell?
Here.
Councilman Coleman?
Here.
Councilman Longo?
Here.
Councilman Luby?
Here.
Councilman Nicholson? Councilman Tungle? Mayor Tudyakov?
Here. Councilman Tungo and Councilman Nicholson are excused. We do have a quorum. Please join us as we do a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, and welcome all the visitors here this evening, those that are online. Item number five is the awards and presentation. At this time, I'd like to present the Community Extra Mile Award. John Russell Lafortes is a dedicated member of the Unalaska community, has been selected as the recipient of the Extra Mile Award. His unwavering commitment to fostering the cultural understanding and celebrating diversity has had a profound effect on our community. From organizing multicultural celebration days to championing Filipino-American history and culture, Russell has consistently gone above and beyond to create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all residents. His passion for culture preservation and his tireless efforts to enrich our community make him a truly deserving recipient of this prestigious award. Please join me up here and I'll give you the award.
Yes.
Congratulations. I'll read this again. It's on the plaque. The City of Unalaska thanks you for a tireless efforts in promoting cultural understandings, celebrating diversity, enriching the lives of our citizens. Through your leadership in multicultural events, cultural preservation programs, and education initiatives, you've created more inclusive and welcoming community. The Extra Mile Award is presented to community members who have gone above and beyond to support the city. Thank you, John Russell Lafortes, awarded November 2024.
Yeah. Thank you.
I can say something. Yeah. Oh, Mama, itag mo makain, di ba? Di pa pala. Dato pa pala. Sorry. Oh, yes, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I am deeply honored to stand before you tonight as the recipient of the esteemed Extra Mile Award. First and foremost, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to the City of Unalaska for this incredible recognition. It is humbling to know that my efforts to promote cultural understanding, celebrate diversity, and enrich the lives of our citizens have made a meaningful impact on this community that I hold so dear. This award is not just about me. It is a reflection of the love, support, and collaboration that I've been fortunate to receive from my family, friends, and the people of this wonderful community. To my family and friends, thank you for being my foundation, my strength, and my inspiration. Your encouragement fuels my passion and reminds me why this work is so important. The cultural awareness events I've been hosting would not have gained such macro-wide recognition without the invaluable assistance of KUCB, including its staff and administrators. So thank you so much. To the community of Analaska, this award belongs to all of us. Together, we build bridges of understanding, preserved our rich cultural heritage, and created spaces where everyone feels seen and valued. You remind me of every day of the power of coming together and celebrating our shared humanity. Thank you once again for this extraordinary honor. It is a privilege to serve this community, and I look forward to continuing this journey with all of you. Thank you and mabuhay.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
congratulations and thank you. Give him a round of applause, a young and upcoming leader in the community. Thank you. Okay. Congratulations to John Fortes for Extra Mile Award. Next item is adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Bell. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting held November 12, 2024. Motion and second.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 12, 2024 meeting.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo, second by Councilman Luby. And ask the counselor if there are any objections to approving the previous minute meetings. Hearing none, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report, and I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, everyone in City Council. I'll just point to a few things on my city manager's report. And if you have anything to ask about something I don't cover, please feel free. As you know, I was trying to plan to have with our partners on December 2nd, a joint meeting of our trilateral, and that just has not come together for a couple of reasons. And I wanted to have really one of the things that was driving that is a presentation of where we are in our pursuit of alternative energy. We are getting a draft report from our electric consultants, EPS, that should be coming in next week. So I just wanted to punt that summary and that report until our meeting on 17th. So at least I will meet the obligation that you all have. Me, you wanted to have a summary of where we're at so far. So I hope that you don't mind. We're going to move that to the 17th. So I have some material to work with. The U.S. Channel Dredging Project met on November 14th with some of the port staff and their team and the consultants and the Army Corps of Engineer representatives. And I have to say there were talking a lot about the project and how things work, and it wasn't exactly my cup of tea because I've never really managed a project like that, but I was really happy to see this group of people and listen to how we're getting along for approaching issues like communication, how to do effective communication between the parties, and potential issues. And I left early, and they were all there till at least 3:30, so I heard it was a very good meeting for them all. The backup generator that long awaited on Haystack, that will help keep our communications up when power goes out. We did have that issue about 2 years ago, and it was definitely an eye-opener. That is up and running, and pleased to report. But we shouldn't have that problem anymore. And there's at least on my outstanding Council directors, appoint to A, and there's a memo in my packet attached to this, which I would say can update you because we did get a fine 144-page detailed report from Munis. It's way more than what you want, but I thought we'd try and look at it tonight and see if at least until we get a bridge between our Munis and our Crystal reports, and it's a long explanation of how that works, if this will suit what you're looking for, if the first 10 pages is what you're looking for, or if we can format that somehow so that it helps. I never thought of Munis because I go into the computer, and I wish someone would have said, well, what are you looking at, Bill? I mean, because obviously I'm looking at something. So any questions on that? I think Patricia's on the line, and we can go over the financial report, at least in terms of revenues. If you want to know a particular department or a line item, let us know. And then, what did I say? The electric power cooperative, that's something I've been giving thought with. I have to get back on the horse on that, and I've been talking with our deputy director of utilities, but we need to convene another meeting and plan for that. So obviously that'll come on the heels of where we're at with our EPS study. So if you have any other questions on this, I'm happy to update you respectively.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from council for city manager? Councilman Bell, Councilman Coleman.
The dredging, I know that one of our projects is depends on who is going to be who won the bid for this, because they were going to dredge. Possibly, we were going to look to piggyback onto that project and what one of our off one of our docks there. So, what is the status on that?
I know that I think the name of the contractor is McKenna's, I think. And I know that our director of ports spoke with them about that project and said that we would be seeking bids for that project. I believe we said bids. So the cost of MOB and DMOB is what really is in there. I heard it was an astronomical price. So it will be interesting, even if we go out for bid, how that worked and what we get.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments for the city manager? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, so the recycling, the Swiffer grant. So we just applied, or just an intent to apply for it. And so couldn't this be broadened to a total recycling program where we recycle other things? I know the intent, I think, is to mostly use it for vehicles, but how much of a grant is it? Is it something that we can use to recycle other items besides cars?
Well, our new grant writer, Jackie, is in the audience, and I'm going to call her up to the podium to help answer your question. It'll be at least my first time calling upon her. I think I know the answer, but why guess?
So, there you go.
Jackie.
Would you mind repeating the question? Just want to make sure that I have the full accounting of it.
Yeah, I'm curious if it can be used for, multiple recycling items, vehicles, but there's also... and I noticed that in there it talked about electronics, things like that. But there's also, we have tires, we have, there's glass, there's can, aluminum. There's just lots of different things I think that can be recycled. And I'm just wondering if it encompasses all of that, and maybe what the dollar amount is on that. If, are we going to be able to use it for quite a bit of stuff, or is it a small amount?
Turn your mic on, please.
Sorry. We haven't fully applied for the grant yet. We've submitted what's called a notice of intent, which is letting the EPA know that we will be applying. So we do have some wiggle room if there's some refinements that we need to make. As for your question about its scope, the full program is called Developing Recycling Infrastructure for Vehicle End of Life. The acronym is DRIVE. but that includes full infrastructure for all solid waste recycling, which is including scrap metal, tires, electronics, things of that nature. The vehicle recycling program is going to be one aspect of that. We were thinking of purchasing materials that will help us process a junked car in order for it to be shipped off island to a recycling center. But while we're establishing that infrastructure, we can also set up infrastructure for other, let's call it residential municipal waste, like what you were asking about. So I have a full breakdown of the things that we are proposing to purchase under this. But the idea is that hopefully we will be able to set up a long-term residential recycling program that will exist even after the grant has been finished. What the grant will be helping us do is buy the things that we need for it, and then the program itself will be self-sustaining. But for more details on that, I'm happy to include that in the next report.
Okay, yeah, no, that's great. I love recycling. I think it's it's great, especially on a small island. The more, you know, stuff that doesn't go to the landfill, the cheaper it is for everybody and the better it is for the environment. So I appreciate that, and I think that's a great thing. So thank you for that. I did have a couple other questions for the city manager as well, or at least one about the flex spending account. And I'm just curious as is there any financial ramifications to the city on that, or is it a totally funded by employees? What's the plan on that?
I'm trying to remember. We have to put in, I think it's about $5,000 or something of that regard to keep it active when we start budgeting, and then they start bringing in money from those who apply, are participating. And if I'm wrong about that, I mean, I don't think so. Because I caught that once when I was going through it. And for the city, it's a really small, just kind of something to start with before, because you lose the money at the end of the year if you don't use it. And so it kind of has a reset, so we have to put some money in until all the employees start putting their money in. I don't know if it's like it. I look at it as an ante-up, but it was not significant at all, and it's something our budget should be able to handle out of admin.
Okay, well, and so there's some of them that are employer matched. And so, you know, and then there's some of them where the employer puts $500 into each one if the employee doesn't contribute. So there's different ways you can do it. So I was just curious if, you know, what the financial implication was.
Yeah, I don't believe that there is any financial implication to the city.
Okay, great. And I think that was all I had. Thanks.
You said question.
I thought there was, but okay. There wasn't.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Louie. Any further questions for the city manager on his report? Okay. Thank you for your report, city manager. Next item 9 is community input. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or to make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lynn Crane speaking on behalf of the Museum of the Aleutians because Dak de Hatfield is on vacation. Native American Heritage Day is Friday, November 29th, and MOTA has drop-in activities on November 29th and November 30th to celebrate. On Friday, November 29th, starting at 11 a.m., baskets from their collection will be out for viewing, and you'll also have a chance to learn more about Inungan weaving from Risa Kazi. On Saturday, November 30 at 11 a.m., MOTA will host a story time featuring books by Indigenous authors and illustrators. There will be drop-in activities both days, including crafts and displays about tool making from resources found on the island and region, Indigenous media, and more. Also, a very generous corporate sponsor, Matson Inc., is sponsoring free admission to the museum from November 29th through January 5th. So come visit the museum for free. Thank you, Matson Inc. Speaking on behalf of the IFHS board, the Alaska Primary Care Association, or APCA, recently highlighted 3 of the 29 community health centers in Alaska, and they recognized IFHS with a quality improvement award for having gone above and beyond to demonstrate improvements in clinical quality measures. And not only did IFHS itself receive this distinction, but our director of registration and case management, Suryani Rape, received the individual Alaska Healthcare Lifetime Contribution Award from APCA. And there she is right there with it. You can see the award that the clinic was awarded in the lobby of the building. Her nomination stated, Suryani works tirelessly to ensure our patients and community receive the healthcare needed throughout their entire healthcare journey. Her commitment to IFHS and the community's healthcare makes it a joy and honor to be her leader. And the IFHS board would like to express our profound gratitude to the entire IFHS staff for their demonstrated commitment to providing the highest quality of care to those living and working in Unalaska and the region. They are tasked with providing not just primary and preventative care, but must also provide emergent care in a challenging and constantly changing environment. We are very proud of them, and our community is incredibly fortunate to have them. That's all for IFHS.
Okay, thank you.
So for USAVE, I get another 3 minutes now, Mr. Mayor. USAVE is currently selling tickets for our annual winter raffle. This year's prize is a framed lino cut titled The Longliners Are Out Today. It's by Alaskan artist Yvonne Zerbitz, which is an illustration from the children's book Little Red Snapper Hood. The winner will also receive a copy of the book. Tickets are just $5 each or 5 for 20. I have some here with me if anybody's got 20 bucks they want to part with. We'll hold the drawing on Thursday, December 19th. Thank you to the Museum of the Aleutians for sponsoring our raffle this year. Okay. Also for USAVE, thanks to Optimera's Christmas for Kids program, USAVE is purchasing clothes and gifts for local children. We will use any money raised that exceeds what we spend on clothes and gifts to help pay for food for our holiday food boxes, which we distribute for Thanksgiving, Gregorian Christmas, and Julian Christmas. If you know of anyone who could use a food box, please refer them to us. Have them call us at 907-581-1500. We've done about 40 Thanksgiving boxes so far this season in the last probably 6 days. USAVE is happy to announce that we received an extremely generous donation of $4,244 from American Seafoods. We will use these funds specifically for our food pantry. As you know, in addition to the holiday food boxes, USAVE provides food assistance all year long to individuals and families. And as you can see from this chart, the demand for this type of assistance has gone up about 80% in the last decade. Indeed, in our last fiscal year, FY24, we provided more food assistance than in any previous year, except for FY21, and that was the first full year of COVID, so that's not surprising. We believe that by relieving food insecurity in our community, we help to create safer and healthier households, and hopefully we reduce the likelihood of domestic violence. Finally, USAVE has scheduled the 2025 Soup Off for Saturday, March 29th, 2025. We hope you'll all save the date and plan to attend the very best, or at least the most nutritious and delicious fundraiser of the year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Another one?
A couple of updates here for PCR. I'm Albert Burnham, Recreation Manager. We've got our holiday Christmas bazaar coming up on December 7th. That's a Saturday, next Saturday. From 11 to 3, we'll have our vendor bazaar. We've got 31 vendors. It's the most we've ever had, so the whole building will be full of people selling crafts and gifts and things. So come on out for that. We'll also have the island's favorite Santa there from 1 to 3 for pictures with the kids, or he's even welcome to having adults as long as they keep it PC. So swing by and get your picture for that. And we also have a new event this year. Our special events coordinator, Aliyah, is working to put on a teen Christmas party. That will be December 21st. And so if you're a teen, swing by PCR, or you know a teen, tell them to swing by PCR and pick up a ticket for that. And then the last thing coming next week, we will have all of our winter spring programming. That's January through May, live on our website. So check that out and see all that we've got coming up for the winter spring programming season. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else in chambers? Announcements of community interest. All right, City Clerk, are there any written comments submitted or anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No one on Zoom or telephone. We also don't have any written comments.
Okay, thank you. And you have another one? No. Okay. All right, thank you. Next item is a public comment for agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they do not want to wait until the item comes up for regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. 3 minutes. Go ahead. Anyone on the anyone on Zoom or telephone or any written comments?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. There's a 3 minute time limit. Please go to the podium and state your name. Okay. Public hearing is now open. Ordinance 2024-15, amending the Title 14 of the Unalaska Code of Ordinance, regulating the use of off-road or all-purpose vehicles within the city limits. Does anyone wish to speak?
Good evening, City Council, Mayor Tudikoff. My name is Larissa Syverson. I'm here on behalf of the Unalaska Corporation. And a few remarks. I was here for the first reading, and just to follow up on some of those, thank you for addressing the fine. Was very appreciative of the adjustment you guys made there. Safety and property damage are OC's main concern. And as previously stated the last time that this was brought to vote, if this is an issue of affordable transportation, we do really like the initiative to do public transportation like a bus system, which was tested a few years ago. I think that's more affordable than bringing APVs to the, you know, shipping them and all the registration fees and everything that goes along with it. And being able to have affordable public transportation can make or break your ability to keep a job here, especially with our weather. So just wanted to make note of that you guys did do that study and it was received well by the general public. There's a problem with abandoned vehicles, and I was curious what the plan is for that right now. Not just abandoned vehicles, but what's the plan for abandoned APVs, things like that, that are going to pop up. And also would like to just remind you to please consider the lack of communications in just Pyramid Valley and Summer Bay when you're considering how the city will be able to respond to emergencies. Again, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in chambers wish to speak to this ordinance? Hearing none, city clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or public on the phone wish to speak?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. The public hearing is now closed. Next is the consent agenda with two resolutions. Absent a request from council to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The consent agenda items are a resolution 2024-49 supporting full funding $5,740,408 for the state of Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Program in fiscal year of 2026 state capital budget. And item B, resolution 2024-50 in support of raising the maximum available for the Alaska Department of Transportation Harbor Facility Grant to $7,500,000 for eligible project in the annual basis. I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda.
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Longo. Request a roll call vote. Hearing no objection. Roll call vote, please.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
And we have Councilman Tungo on the line. Councilman Tungo?
Yes.
Oh, Tungo's on. Go ahead, Councilman.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I vote yes.
Okay, thanks. Is that it? On a roll call vote of 5-0, the consent agenda items have been approved. We are now in a regular session, regular agenda. Person on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk. You have 3 minutes at this time. First item is Ordinance 2024-15, second reading, amending Title 14 of the Inalaska Code of Ordinances regulating the use of off-road or all-purpose vehicles in the city limits. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2024-15?
I move to adopt Ordinance 2024-15.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, second by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you. So on November 12th, council introduced Ordinance 2024-15 and scheduled it for a public hearing tonight and a second reading also tonight. Also amended the fine amount for unlawful operation of an APV driving on private property from $100 to $1,000 and deleted the fine for unlawful operation of an APV driving on sidewalk or non-motorized trail. There's information there and below in legal section. We also have our attorney, Sam Severn, on the line. I would say Councilman Bell had some questions about how this would apply if you're just half parked on, you know, how did that go, Mr. Bell?
That was an example. I had an example, but what the question was is if we set the fine and make it a mandatory court citation and then set a min and max for the fine, and how would that process work? And what would we need to do as a council? And can we even do that?
So I think it's best if Mr. Severn, if you are on the line.
I am.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the idea is if we could make something a mandatory court appearance, fine. Under the code, if there is not a fine amount listed in the schedule, so we just don't include it in the schedule, it becomes at that point a mandatory court appearance offense. And under 1.24.010 of the code, the penalty at that point is capped at $500. for that type of offense. And generally, I am not used to putting a range in this kind of fine schedule, so I went, couldn't find a rule telling me about ranges, but I just started looking at some other codes to try to figure out about ranges. And I couldn't find any place else doing that, so I just feel like ranges are discouraged probably. It's either a mandatory court appearance in which the judge just sort of picks the fine amount, or it's in the fine schedule, and that way it's sort of a liquidated amount. Generally, we encourage cities to list things in the fine schedule because of the burden, not so much on the person getting the fine, but just on the department of needing to go to court if the person, regardless, the department just has to send an officer to court. If it's listed there, then the only time you'd have to send people to court is if they chose to fight it. Otherwise, they can just pay the amount. So that's kind of the benefit of. One of the benefits of putting the fine amount in there. So it's kind of challenging, but if we wanted to make it something where you had to go in front of a judge, what we could do is just delete it from the fine schedule, and then they'd have to go in front of a judge, and the max would be $500 per the code that way. It's.
I got a follow-up question then. Then if we leave it with the ordinance the way we amended it with a $1,000 fine and someone were to contest that, what does the court have the latitude to do if that person contests the citation?
If it's listed in there, then the court does not have the latitude to go with a different fine amount. They have to do it. And I've prosecuted a handful of these where the fine has been very high because the city wanted to just have it that way. And the court is very clear, that that's what they have to impose. They could find the person, not guilty. A lot of this comes with just an add-on to that. A lot of this comes with really just enforcement discretion, right? So if a person is really on the edge of something, the officer on some level's got to look at that and just kind of go, well, I mean, this isn't really what we're trying to get at. So that's kind of the first step. But yeah, the court's hands are tied though. If they make a guilty finding and the fine amount is included, then the judge is stuck with the fine amount.
Okay. The question was raised to me, and Mr. Homka started to kind of explain was it, let's say, a scenario where someone is on their APV and pulls off to the side of the road and legally either walks somewhere or goes hiking or whatever it may be, but they just inadvertently park on private property. It doesn't matter whose private property it is, but private property. Theoretically, they could be cited $1,000 for being on private property, whether they realized they were or not. And I see a huge difference between that and someone that just takes off and just travels over, over the hills and out into open land and completely disregards whether it's private property or not. And that's why I was asking that question on where there potentially is a compromise. I obviously agree with there should be a fine. It's just $1,000 to me seemed excessive. I mean, there's not many citations or offenses that are in code that have fines that large, or even close to that large. You can do way worse things with, a motor vehicle or something like that and still not get a fine that large. But then the other part of that too is would this fine be comparable to if I did the same thing with my pickup truck, if I just pulled off to the side of the road and was on private property, is it still $1,000 fine in my pickup truck? So.
Yeah, and I'd like to address a couple of those pieces. Is I don't believe there is a corresponding state law or city code for doing that in a vehicle, and that's largely, I think, what the, how that would probably be handled is just more like a criminal trespass, which would fit under, you know, just the Title 11 criminal law. If somebody drove across my front yard, they could be charged that way. There is also a state law with a small fine, and I don't have it in front of me. I could have it in a couple minutes, but of, you know, under $100, I believe, for parking on private property. So that gets back to that enforcement discretion piece where, you know, if somebody thinks they're on the road, but they're 2 feet onto someone's private property and just parked, not tearing around, they would be subject to a state law fine for that. And that's back, get you the site for it, but it's hard to understand over the phone anyway. But it'd just be the same as parking in other inappropriate areas, but there's a private property section of that. So in that scenario that you just described, there would be a more appropriate fine that an officer could choose from to address that conduct and reserve a citation under the $1,000 fine for the person who's truly, you know, tearing around, recreating on private land.
Okay, so if I'm clear on what you're saying, is there would be some discretion that, hey, this, you treat an APV or a vehicle the same, and it could be a fine that isn't necessarily under this section of city ordinance. It could be under some state statute or other statute.
You're right, right. The that's correct. The other thing that I'll just throw in that I do appreciate about these is the state law on APVs and just some of these traffic offenses in general is not always the easiest to find. There's a couple hundred of them, and they're not always described in the most user-friendly way. And one of the side, one of the other benefits of the code, with even though we've taken, you know, a lot of it out, but left the sidewalks and the other people's property provisions, is you can find that, or you can publish that on a, you know, if the public safety wants to put out a website update on rules or post them at, you know, certain places. It's just more user friendly than the state law. Every time I have to go look in there, I kind of get a little frustrated. So that's another benefit of just having those things in here. That's a little off the fine amount question that we're getting at, but
thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
So the ordinance for the $1,000 fine actually says driving on private property, doesn't reference parking. So I feel like that may, you know, help to alleviate the parking issue. And you could go, you know, whatever the state code is, just like a vehicle, the same thing. So, and it really is intended to be for, you know, anybody that's driving and tearing up property, no matter whose property it is. And there, you know, the reason for the $1,000 fine is to discourage people from driving off road. And I really hope it does discourage people, and that, you know, people don't do it and ruin it for everybody else. Because I don't have a problem with revisiting this if it becomes a problem, you know. So I think we all need to be responsible, and I think we need to give it a try and see how it goes. And if it becomes a problem, then we revisit it again. There's nothing saying we can't come back and revisit it, but let's just give it a try and see how it goes. And if it becomes a problem, we can revisit it.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any other council comments? Councilman Luby?
One other thing, just on the advice of the attorney, it looks like that we should probably put the fines schedule for unlawful operations on sidewalks and non-motorized trails back in there. So I would like to see if this would pass, but I'd like to move to make a motion or make an amendment to Section 4 of Ordinance 2024-15 UCO 14-04-0.025 fine schedule to include a fine of $1,000 for violation of 14.08.020B, unlawful operation of an APV driving on sidewalks and on motorized trails.
Second.
That's been moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Coleman to number one, include using ATVs on the sidewalks and trails, and to be all inclusive with $1,000 fine for that offense and its amendment. Let's go ahead and speak to the amendment.
So just to kind of keep in line with the other one, but we should probably stay uniform with these two, and we shouldn't have taken it off originally anyway. So, but non-motorized trails, that is kind of the same as driving off roads as well. So I think we should keep the same fine schedule to encourage people not to do this as well.
Thank you. Councilman Bell?
If you can clarify for me, are we talking about the previous ordinance that we changed at the last meeting, which driving on sidewalks? Is that correct?
Yes.
There's previous. Yeah, okay. So I just want to make sure, because you mentioned trails or something, that's not stated in there.
Oh, this is for driving on sidewalks or non-motorized trails.
Non-motorized trails.
Also, I even though I don't agree with it, I can justify the $1,000 on private property, but this is not an apples-to-apples comparison, and I would say this is way out of line with anything that you would find in state code. I would support it at 100, maybe even 150, but not at 1,000.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any other comments on the amendment? Okay. Request a Councilman Tongo. Unmute, please.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think I'll be in support of $1,000 driving on the sidewalk. That's more dangerous than anything else when people walking and people be able to drive in there. I'll be in support of that amendment. Okay. Thank you.
Any further comment? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote on the amendment. Please state the amendment for clarity.
Yep, I can read it again. So I move to amend Section 4 of Ordinance 2024-15 UCO 14.04.025 fine schedule to include a fine of $1,000 for violations of 14.08.020B, unlawful operation of an APV driving on sidewalks or non-motorized trails.
Okay, thank you. I'll have a roll call.
Point of information, Mayor.
Councilman Bell, you're possibly late. What is it you want?
I was just looking at here what was what we amended last time, and it's a different ordinance number. Is this a new ordinance number, or is this part of it? Previous ordinance was 14.08.020.
state the question again, Mr. Bell?
Nope. You've got it up there. It answers my question. So it was unclear in the motion. So thank you.
So we're all clear on it. It's been okay. Thank you. Roll call, please. On the amendment.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
No.
And a roll call vote of four yeses and one no. The amendment passes. Any further discussion on the main motion? As amended also. Okay. Okay, we are on the ordinance 2024-15 as amended. And I'll request a roll call vote on the amended resolution.
Mayor, can we get public comment if there's any?
What's that?
Do we have any public comment for this one? It's public hearing.
All right. Yeah, I wrote right over my notes. City clerk, is there any council or public comments?
Yes, Mayor, we have three in the chambers wishing to speak.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Denise Rankin, President for the Unalashka Corporation. And while I have no doubt that this ordinance is probably going to pass based on previous discussions, it's unfortunate that we have to go through this every couple of years. I just wanted to let you know that I wanted to follow up on what Ms. Syverson was talking about. One of the concerns that the Unalashka Corporation has is also the fact that we have many abandoned vehicles on our property, and it lies on us as the landowner to be responsible for that, even though state ordinance and city code makes it illegal to abandon on private property. I think that the city needs to review and make that ordinance more strict for landowners to be able to get vehicles removed. We know of at least six that we're going to be responsible for vehicles. Now we're going to have potential APVs. I would hope that everybody follows the law, but we know that people are seasonal. They come in, leave their vehicles, and go. And then we're stuck with them. I would hope that you look at that ordinance as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in chambers speak to this ordinance? Mr. Robinson.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. Dennis Robinson for the record. Why are laws made in the United States? They're made to maintain order. Laws help to prevent chaos and ensure society functions smoothly. They provide a framework for resolving disputes and maintaining public order. Protect rights and liberties. Laws safeguard individual rights such as freedom of speech, religion, and privacy, and ensure that people's rights are respected and protected from infringement. They promote justice. Laws aim to ensure fairness and justice within society, holding individuals and organizations accountable for their actions. They regulate conduct. Laws set out standards for acceptable behavior, helping to regulate various aspects of life, including business practices, environmental protection, and public health. Most importantly, they need to take into consideration that those in favor of the law and those that oppose it are equally represented in the development of that law, and they are equally protected by the law. I don't see that in this ordinance. These vehicles will be noisy at times, yet at times of prohibited operations have been removed. they should be put back in there. I don't feel it's enough to, being done to protect the landowner's rights. It is already bad enough to have cars rattling your windows and stuff, and the stuff on your shelves inside one's house as a car goes by booming or with their bass booming. This ordinance doesn't seem to fit a lot of reasons why laws are made. You don't make them just to make them. I've heard the statement that if it isn't working, we can change it back. What determines that if it's not working? Does somebody have to die? Since the law was changed in 2021 in the state of Alaska, the Alaska State Troopers reported that one out of every two accidents involving this type of vehicle on the road system was fatal. In Alaska, we have a large amount of heavy truck traffic transversing our roads compared to most other communities. Nationwide, most accidents involving motorcycles are caused by drivers not seeing the motorcycles. I know this law isn't regarding motorcycles. I bring this up because the vehicles that collide with motorcycles are cars, not heavy trucks. With this type of vehicle and the heavy truck traffic that we have, we can expect to see that lives will be lost. What is the economic burden placed on our police department? We heard that last council meeting. It's pretty skimpy right now. EMS services in the clinic have to be considered. By enacting this law, there will be more of this type of vehicle brought to the island. And with irresponsible citizens that choose to violate the law by trespassing on private property, when this happens, everyone will suffer. In closing, I obviously oppose this law, this type of vehicle on the roads, and there will be sorrow and death given the ratio of heavy truck traffic to car traffic in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further? Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Travis Swangle. I'm going to speak in favor of this ordinance amendment and this ordinance change. And like I've stated previously, this is a benefit enjoyed in other communities in the state. And people are expected to follow by the rules, and I feel that most will. And we'll just keep it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in chambers?
No, Mayor.
Okay, anyone on Zoom or telephone or written comments?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, you want to speak? No.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I hold my comments because I wanted to make sure I heard from all public on this one. This is definitely one that we're getting a lot of feedback on, which is great. And so this has not just been brought this time around, but this has been a previous brought in ordinance and failed. And there was lots of public comment at that time. And I've heard quite a bit, not just in public, but just personal. And I had taken all of that into consideration when I listened to what the comments that have been made here. And there's been some really good ones. And everybody has a really valid and good point, you know, about bringing an APB. They're more equipped for the roads now. There have been some testimony about the technicality of them and how, you know, the tires are better. And this was all in a previous discussions, but they're more suited for pavement and road traffic. There's been testimony about the economy of, you know, they don't, a little, I don't know what horsepower they are, but, you know, more efficient, better for people who don't want to be able to move around and not spend as much money. There actually hasn't been a whole lot of talk on the whole safety aspect, especially with all the heavy traffic that we have on the roads, something I've always weighed in really considerably. And, you know, even though the comment was made that this is public roads, you know, on for public property, you really do have to consider your neighbors and the impact it has on the private property of our neighbors. And that those are all very, very, really good points. The abandoned vehicles, we just got through having that in manager's report about all the, what do we do with all the vehicles? So thank you for enlightening. Let me say my point, because I don't think I think in previous ones I have voted for. I think it's important, though, right now that people who have opposed this have a voice. And as a no, so you will see me as a no vote tonight. So I think it's important that representation is that are up here. And if this passes, I hope we can find some resolution if property owners do have a problem. But I think that voice needs to be represented, which is why I wanted to explain my position right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, thank you, Councilman Coleman, and I appreciate the comments of, you know, the public. You know, I just quickly address the abandoned vehicle thing. That's a problem for the city, OC, many property owners. And I think we've, you know, addressed that we want to do something moving forward. Just we need to figure out a way that we can get rid of all these scrap equipment, scrap vehicles, whatever it may be. They're, you know, they're on private property everywhere throughout the city, and it is a problem getting rid of them. However, I don't know that I fully got my questions answered as far as the legal part and citations and fines. I did ask the question, you know, a couple of days ago, and I didn't have an opportunity to really get a good answer that I could chew on and think about. So I'll make a motion at this point to postpone until the December 17th. 2024 meeting.
Councilman Bell, those are all good comments. Your state your position regarding the postponement. What is it?
We have a meeting in December scheduled on December 17th. Is that correct? Yes. So postpone until December 17th.
We do. But if I may, there may be some quorum issues on that. I know for one ordinance in particular, I think we have Councilman Tungle is going to be out. Councilman Coleman's going to be out. We're down to four. Is anyone else here going to be missing that? Okay. So I have three here, which I think meets the test. All right. I just wanted to double check. I hate to defer to a date that if we are having a quorum problem, we will be having one for the other ordinance for the opening for breakfast and bars, et cetera. That's why I thought I'd raise it now.
It sounds like you may have to wait or postpone to January meeting. I mean, I don't.
Four.
I would rather see a full council address this issue versus four members who, you know, are trying to do the right thing, but the public has the comments in, and they may have. May have different views by the time we, and the purpose of why you're postponement, I just don't get it other than the answers as far as what you're asking for, what the court can do. It's state law and city ordinance, and there's no in between.
With a motion to postpone, are we suggesting a different date? Because I'm agreeable to, you know, a different date. That was part of the issue last time that we voted on this, is it ended up being a four council vote. And I don't think even.
I think.
Was it five?
Okay. So you'll need four votes in the affirmative
yeah.
to pass the ordinance.
But if we wait till this December 17th, you're saying it'll be a four-person quorum.
It'll be four-person quorum.
Yes.
But if it goes when 3-1, it will not pass.
I understand that.
And I'll do back.
January sometime, I believe. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Mr. Tungle, if you're there, can you remind us when you're back?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're asking when you're available to be at the council meetings. The Councilman Bell has asked for postponement to another date, which was December 17th. And now we're understanding there may not be a quorum on the 17th.
I won't be available on the 17th.
Okay, thank you.
Can we change that date to January 10th? Is the next is the meeting? In?
I hear it's January 14th.
The 14th.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page there. Still looking at December.
Okay.
And do we need to make an amendment, or can we just simply change the date?
Yeah, we haven't
with any without any objection.
We didn't get a second, so you can. I questioned the intent. That's why we're in discussion. And you're willing to postpone to January
14th.
Councilman Longo, yeah, comment.
No, I'll second the postponement.
Postpone till January 14th, 2025.
Yes.
Okay. Discussion. I may not be available on 14th, but that's not up to me, unless there's a tie. Then I'll scamper up here. But that's our holiday. Okay, well, without objection, we'll vote on postponement to January 14th for ordinance 2415. On ordinance 2024-15, postponement to January 14th, 2025. An objection? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0, the postponement passes to next reading will be January 14th, 2025. Next item is ordinance 2024-16, first reading, amending UCO 3.40.004. to adopt a new pay range matrix to apply the cost of living increase. I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2024-16. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been here an hour. Okay. Been a request for a break. We'll take a 5-minute break. Call the Unalaska City Council meeting back to order. We were on item B, ordinance 2024-16, first reading, amending Unalaska City Ordinance 3.40.040 to adopt a new pay range matrix to apply the cost of living increase. Motion and second to introduce ordinance 2024-16.
Move to introduce ordinance 2024-16 and public hearing scheduled on December 17th. Oh, January 14th for this one. Okay.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you. So, in this summer, ordinance 2024-16 will adjust the pay range matrix for Title III unrepresented employees to apply a cost of living increase. The staff recommends that a cost of living increase be applied to the wage scales to keep them current and provided to our current employees. There's been no previous council action on this ordinance, but the pay range matrix for Title III was last updated on March 12th of this year, with the adoption of Ordinance 2024-04. When we adopted the fiscal year 2025 budget, we in economic indicators were predicting about a 2% cost of living adjustment, or COLA,
and a 2% increase was the amount we budgeted for in the current FY25 budget. At this time, there are several discrepancies between what kind of COLA, which indicator do we want to use? And I thought we would bring it forward to council as a menu style if you wanted to look these over, or if you wanted to stay with the 2%. So in here, you'll see that there's the Social Security Administration, SSA. It announced recently that their benefit recipients receive a 2.5% cost of living adjustment. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, measure of the cost of living tracks price changes over time. The nationwide CPI says for all urban consumers, it increased 2.6%. The urban Alaska CPI for 12 months ending October 2024 was 2.1%. The urban Alaska CPIU for 12 months ending in October 24 for all items, excluding food and energy, was 3%. There's also some other indicators. One of them is for urban Hawaii, and it's at 4.2%. As you know, we participate in kind of a cost of living study through the Center for Economic Research, I believe, and we've been participating in that since, I believe, about 2020. That's where we go into the store and look at how much a pound of ground meat is. We call, find out how much a haircut is. We do kind of almost a survey, and we go around to a couple of the stores here. It also has transportation in it. Doesn't include airfare. But so we've been using that just as a baseline, participate quarterly, but only two quarters. That one says about 8.6%, which is really huge. And there are some statistical variances with that, why you might not want to use that. And then there's the COLA baseline from the McGrath Compensation Report, which recommends 3.0%.
Okay, thank you. Any council have any discussion or comments, questions for the city manager? Councilman Bell?
I'll start. It doesn't look like anyone's eager to jump in there and say anything. I don't know. There was information I requested from staff, and I haven't got a response yet on it, so I don't really necessarily have a preference on how we move forward on this, but I will listen to what the rest of the council have to say, and since this is first reading, I think I can support at least voting yes on this to move it forward to a second reading. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman?
Are you looking for a discussion on the percentage, if anything at all, right now? Or is that something that...
I read it into record for all of you. That's what we do on the first reading. Mr. Bell did have several questions. We did get some of the answers today. It's just hard to compile and get them all out to you. As you know, I think I sent some of you the budget from UNIS on Monday. It's hard when it's last minute. So since there's a second reading, I'll definitely collate and make sure we have the answers to all of his questions. And if any of you have any more, please feel free. You can email me or Margie, but make sure you email us, Carlin, as well, so that we make sure we have it for the record.
So I'm asking because, with the limited information that I have brought with me today, because if you're going to look at anything outside of 2%, that's what we budgeted.
Right.
That's what I would support at this time only. So I would want to see, our financial records and like how we're doing this year to date and expenses. And,
right.
And that is not in a 104-page document would be preferred. So that's just, so, you know, in your memo, you referred to not this one, but the one about, you know, your not being able to provide the mandate. Sorry. So, right. We talked about how we weren't having to do it, any kind of budget amendments, and that we were staying within budget. So, you know, in retrospect, that's all I could support at this time. So until we have more information, I can't really add anything to this. But I do think there needs to be COLAs, and we do need to stay, you know, we
we did a lot of work to put these things up to grade and make salaries comparable. And so I don't want to get behind that one again. We've already had the big hurt on that one. So I want to make sure that we can stay in step with inflation and the cost of living increases. So, yeah, I will vote yes to move it forward to second reading.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further discussion? Councilman Luby, then Councilman Tungle.
So I did get a chance to look over the financials that were sent last night. First off, I do support COLAs, and I think we need to keep up with it. We did put a lot of work into, you know, bringing this up standard, and we don't want to fall behind. And so, but I just want to make sure that we don't get too far of our head ahead of ourselves as well. That we have to negotiate as well, and you know, and we've kind of already set a standard there that we're working towards right now. But with that, I was kind of looking at, you know, our revenues that we've brought in, and typically by the end of October, we would have brought in our, you know, pretty much 100% of our real estate, our real property tax, our personal property tax. We would be around 50% of our city sales tax because we've collected 2 quarters worth. We've also gone through our busy and a slower season during that time. And then the business property tax. So, and I see that they're all just a little bit under what we had budgeted for, and you know, last year they were a little bit higher. We were running better. I'm a little bit concerned about our city sales tax, just because I've noticed some prices going down. I don't know if anybody noticed, but our fuel dropped 20 cents a gallon. I was like, what? That's really nice. But that's a huge part of our sales tax as well. And I don't know if that's going to affect our, you know, our vessel traffic or not, but I know at the gas pump it had dropped. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. So, you know, those things make a big difference how we're doing with revenue compared to our budget. I know we had a pretty good surplus, a couple million in that was budgeted, but we're down about $1 million from what I can see, just a little over $1 million from what I would expect to have brought in by now, just with those items that I was talking about. So I would want to be fairly cautious as well. And we've already, you know, budgeted the 2%, so I would definitely be in support of that. I would be willing at this point to go up to the 2.5%, because we've, you know, we're kind of setting that standard. We've been trying to anyway. And that's what the Social Security Administration goes with as well. And it's kind of a national thing. And I know that we're outside of the realm of the national. Things are more expensive. But I don't think from 2023 to 2024, a lot of expenses have increased. I think our airfare is about the same. I think that, you know, our groceries are going down. I think our transportation, like I said, the fuel is going down now. I think that housing rentals, I don't believe that that's changed a whole lot in the last year. So I don't think that our costs have actually gone up a considerable amount in the last year. Our healthcare, I don't feel like we can play a big part in that for city staff because they have such a great health package. They don't have a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, which would, you know, if they did, that would take away from their spending power, but it doesn't. It actually gives them more spending power because they're not paying, you know, those deductibles. They're not, you know, they're not high deductibles. They're not paying a copay. They don't have to, you know, participate in their health insurance, you know, to pay anything monthly, you know, for that in health insurance. So anyway, those are the kind of the reasons I'm looking at the, you know, the 2 to 2.5% is where I would kind of be looking at right now.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any other council member for questions or
City manager.
I thank you, Councilman Libby. Those are all good points. And I think there's two things that we'll be looking for. One is there a standard that you want us to be looking at each year? And if not, that's okay. We just wanted to point out there's an array that are quite a range. And it troubles me to make a recommendation because it's sort of self-serving, right? So, but I hate passing on recommendations, so pick one. But I think the other is certainly we want to make sure that you have the information in front of you so that you guys can make sound decisions. And that's not a problem in my mind. That's what you should be doing. So we'll get you the information and try and make sure that we have all of Mr. Bell's questions answered and put in them instead of me trying to print them off at the last minute. And if anyone else has, again, any questions or things you'd like to know, the sooner is the better. We have some time, obviously, since it's going to be not a 2-week cycle. It's going to be later, but don't forget so that we have time to get them because some folks aren't going to be around and they're going to be chasing answers. So let me know, and I'm happy to find those answers for you.
Yes, thank you, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, and Councilman
Bell.
If when you're kind of researching all this stuff, if you know, and I looked at these wrong because I'm not used to these reports. But if you have any, comment on, the amount of taxes that we've taken in that we should have already taken in that I mentioned, maybe you could just let me know if I have made an error there too, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further discussion from council? Okay, thank you. This is the first reading on Ordinance 2024-16. Has anyone signed up, City Clerk, to public comment?
No.
No one on Zoom or telephone?
No.
Thank you. Motion is the motion and seconded to introduce Ordinance 2024-16. Request a roll call vote without objection.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 6 yeses and 0 nays, the Ordinance 2024-16 passes first reading. Next item is 2024-17, first reading, amending Unalaska City Ordinance 9.20.025B to allow food and non-alcoholic beverage service at licensed premises Monday through Sunday, 5:30 a.m. until such hour as the licensed premise is authorized to dispense alcoholic beverages. I have a motion and a second.
Move to introduce Ordinance 2024-17. And move it to public hearing and second reading on January 14th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell to introduce Ordinance 2024-24.17. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I would like to recuse myself from this. I do financially benefit from this.
Okay, thank you. And without objection, you're recused from discussion and vote. Okay, I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you. Well, as Councilwoman Luby mentioned, this measure was introduced by her, is properly submitted as an agenda item request to the city clerk to request the change to the Unalaska Code of Ordinances 9.20.02 regarding operating hours for licensed premises to allow food and non-alcoholic beverage service Monday through Sunday, beginning at 5:30 a.m. each day. The request was dated November 1st, 2024, and was submitted to the city clerk on the 12th. There have been no previous action on this ordinance, and I think staff stands as a recommendation as a approval, and I concur with staff recommendation.
Thank you. City manager, any comments from questions from council? Councilman Bell?
Yes, I'll just make a quick comment. I'll support this ordinance. The restriction on those hours doesn't make any sense and doesn't serve the public in any manner, so I can support the change. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungo?
I'll be in full support of this ordinance.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Any further comment? Okay. Hearing no further comments from City Council's discussion, the City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
Citizen Deneen Luby would like to speak.
Yeah, it's different being on this side. I just wanted to, you know, the reason I wanted to do this is I want to be able to provide breakfast in the mornings, and it doesn't affect the liquor sales at all. The liquor would still be, you know, at normal hours when we're allowed to sell liquor. The type of license that we have right now is that everybody has to be off the premises when we're not allowed to sell alcohol. And so I still have to go through the state and follow state rules. But when the state reviews my application, they're going to be looking at the city code and if there's any local rules. So I just want to make sure that this is not there to bar them from saying they could change. And I might not be able to open until 8 a.m. But because right now the state allows you to be open from 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning. So. Anyway, so thank you. I appreciate your guys' support.
Okay, thank you. Any further comment? Tom from Chambers? I had a question this morning on notification and to other entities in the community, businesses that are may not be aware of this and may want to respond. So I did want to let you know that we are looking into that, just to make sure they're notified other entities, businesses. Just to be clear. All right. Any further comments? Anyone on Zoom? Anyone else on Zoom?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Let's restate the ordinance 2024-17, first reading, amending the code to allow food and non-alcoholic beverages be serviced at a licensed premises Monday through Sunday from 5:30 a.m. till such time as licensed premises is authorized to dispense alcohol beverages. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On a roll call vote, one councilman recused from voting, two absence, and four yeses. The ordinance 2024-17 passes first reading. Next item is resolution 2024-51, authorizing the city manager to enter into a sole source professional service agreement with Long Building Technologies Incorporated for the city's building automation service agreement. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2024-51?
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2024-51.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo, second by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you. Resolution 2024-51 authorizes the city manager or myself to enter into an agreement with Long Building Technologies to provide building automation system support for the city and school buildings HVAC systems. The staff recommendation is adoption. There is no previous council action on this resolution. The background includes the Department of Public Works requests approval to sole source the HVAC building automation system support provider to Long Building Technologies. The department believes this request meets the criteria established in the city's purchasing policy, procedures, et cetera, when the item or service is available only from one source. Also pursuant to an Alaska City ordinance, a contract requiring the payment of funds for more than one fiscal year must be approved by council. That's why you're seeing it. Long was selected as our HVAC DDC controls contractor via request for proposals in FY 2014 and has provided responsive service at a reasonable price all of these years. The ongoing service requirement is required, and Long is the only company that can provide the service, effectively making Long the only supplier for monitoring and controlling of the city's HVAC services needed. Tentative start date would be December 1st of this year, and the tentative ending date is November 30th, 2029. Staff recommends approval, and I support it.
Okay, thank you, City Manager, for the update. Also, discussion on this resolution 2024-51. Councilman Coleman?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So you said there's been no prior action on this, yet they've been servicing our HVAC for since 2014. So I guess my question is, so they've been, so we've had other contracts with them prior to this one?
Yes, ma'am.
And how do those prior contracts compare to the current one?
How do they compare?
Yes, sir. Right.
So I have, and actually I think this is one that I was asked, I believe, by Mr. Bell as well. So in 2015, we had a purchase order for 3 years at $46,181. In 2017, 5 years, $46,323. We had a change order on that as well for the pool for another $12,000. So the total for that one was $58,641. And I can send you those. In fiscal year 23, then, after that 5 years, the city did a capital project for controls upgrades in all the city buildings. And it included a warranty on the systems until 2024. Now there's no number next to that, so I'll have to find that for you. And now in 2025, we're ready to enter into another service agreement. This comes back to these things should have been coming to you. So that's why you're seeing some of these now going, what happened? And my administration and my staff make a commitment. It takes longer sometimes, but that's the way we're supposed to do it. So that's why you're seeing this, and you see there's nothing there. So
the services are basically the same from the last contract, but they've nearly doubled. Two-thirds more. You said the last one was $58,000 because it had a change order in it.
Correct, in 2017.
Right? 2017, yeah. I guess this is just kind of one of those things. It's like, obviously they have a reputation and they've been servicing our, I'm going to assume they've been doing a good job because they're still in business, and I guess we still want them back. But I think one of the things that, and I see it on some of our not sure what the word is here, technologies and things that we do, there's these proprietary software things, and it seems like it's got us by, places that we may not want to be drug along by, it's like, well, this is our proprietary software, and so guess what, you're gonna have to go with us again, or it would behoove us to, because we're already knee deep into this. It seems like, I'm sure that when the decision is made to invest a big portion in the, you know, HVAC systems or whatever systems they are. Everybody has their little bit of piece in it. The company is like, well, this is how we do things, and nobody else, you know, is going to do it this way. So it's just something. So what do you do when things go up, right? And so you sole source because they're the only ones that can provide for our particular system. It's just kind of a thought. You know, where does it stop and where does it end? That's why you go out for bid. That's why you go out and bring competition back into it. So it kind of, it's good to see this coming forward. I do appreciate that effort because it gets some history on this and can see where this is going. So thank you. No further comment.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, and I'll just expound on that because that was kind of my concern too, is that, you know, now, you know, City Manager Humpka here, you know, has noted that some of these things should have already been coming to us before for approval. And I think we're going to see a lot more of these where it makes the most amount of sense and it's the most economic path is for the city to continue to renew these type contracts and agreements because there is no other, you know, viable source of providing the service or whatever, you know, product it is. So, you know, it is upon us as the council to at least, you know, take a cursory look. Mr. Honka did, you know, didn't completely answer my question, but gave me enough information that I can feel comfortable moving forward and, you know, and supporting approving this resolution. But we are going to see, you know, I've worked, you know, in many industries where there's a lot of proprietary stuff where, you know, once you've gone with a certain product, you know, everything's focused around that product or software or device or whatever it may be. And we probably will see more of these that are sole source like this. So I will support the resolution.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further discussion? Councilman Tungle. Hearing no
action. I'll be in full support of this resolution, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Councilman Tungle. Councilman Luby.
So you said that in 2017, is that when the last one was? And it was 50?
Yes, ma'am.
So 2017 was quite a while ago, and we saw a big jump in 2022 with a lot of expenses. We've seen a big jump in our airfare, things like that. So I'm not sure that, you know, it's what, $30,000 increase. It's probably in line. I don't see it being an exorbitant amount either. So, a lot of things are going proprietary, and that's how we're doing business. So. It's a smart business move on their part. So, anyway, but okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby, for the discussion. I had a question for you. I don't know if you could answer this, but long services also, they're involved with the school, they're involved with, for sure, with the OC. And do they share the costs when they come out on the annual basis?
I presume we do. I mean, I think this one is actually we're kind of hiring them with for long or for the school as well, because we do help the school with some of these. I'm looking to acting public works director Mark Kilmeyer for a nod. Am I right? There you go. Very big fan of public speaking he is, so I'm going to take that as a yes.
I just a thought while Councilman Luby was discussing that issue close to it. City clerk, the council have further discussion? Hearing none, city clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, Mayor.
Anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No.
Thank you. I'll restate the motion to adopt resolution 2024-51 authorizing city manager to enter into a sole source professional service agreement with Long Building Technologies Incorporated for the city's building automation service. I'll request a roll call vote.
Councilman Luby? Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yeses and 0 nays, the resolution 2024-51 has been approved. Resolution 2024-52 authorizing city manager to negotiate and sign a memorandum of understanding with Matson Shipping for the engineering service for crane and infrastructure at the Unalaska Marine Center. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2024-52.
Move to adopt resolution 2024-52.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor. The approval of resolution 2024-52 will authorize the city manager, myself, to negotiate and sign a memorandum of understanding with Matson Shipping for engineering services specific to the Unalaska Marine Center and new and improved crane tie downs and crane stop infrastructure. So ultimately provide mutual benefit to both organizations while protecting the integrity of the overall dock structure. Previous council action there has been none. Matson purchased a new crane and the old section of dock requires upgrades for increased capacity with new crane tie downs and a new crane stop at the south end of the dock. The city owns the UMC and will own the improvements of the new crane infrastructure. And the MOU needs to be negotiated in order for both organizations to satisfy each other's required engineering specifications. In order to proceed with this collaboration, the City Council must authorize the city manager to negotiate an MOU with Matson. MOU will define the responsibilities and roles of both parties in the engineering and construction of the crane tie downs. It will also ensure that the city's interests are protected while acknowledging Matson's need to maintain control over the engineering of the crane infrastructure. Staff recommends approval, and I concur with staff.
Thank you, City Manager. Council discussion at this time. Anyone, council members? No? Oh, Councilman Bell?
Yeah, looking down at Councilman Coleman, I think she's going to say the same thing as me, but I'm going to direct this towards the rest of the council here. In the last line, if we could scroll up just a little bit on the screen there, now therefore let it be resolved. It caught my eye right off the bat that we're being asked to authorize to negotiate a memorandum of understanding and authorizing the city manager to sign it, which means that it will be something negotiated without the council having an opportunity to look at it and make sure that it's in the best interest of the city. And that's my only reservation with this. Otherwise, I definitely support this this project moving forward. It'll be a positive for both Matson and the city of Unalaska. And I'll listen to what my other counselors have to say.
Thanks, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my, said that before. It didn't really go anywhere, but I think that was one of my caveats on the previous discussion is that, you know, just the language of it is kind of like to be negotiated later without council knowledge as to the details of it. The other thing that I was kind of curious about, though, has helped me with my memory is like we also entered into an agreement with Mattson for the grant, right?
Yes.
To for improvements, capital improvements to the area, right? So how does that or does it play into this at all?
Well, it's the same project.
Yeah.
But we were not funded. So we didn't get the grant that was announced, and I don't know where that got lost. But the ports director is eager to come up and update you on that if you're interested. Sure. Come on.
Yeah.
Up.
So a couple, that's a really great question because there's a couple moving pieces to that. During the grant application process, there was two memorandums of understanding. One we needed to have signed in order to submit the grant application as we were the one applying in partnership with Mattson. Mattson could not apply for that grant because they're a private entity and not a government agency. So that was what that MOU was. The other MOU that surfaced during that application process was the MOU on the engineering services. And the city and the city's attorney were not satisfied that our interests were protected in that process. But because it was not required to submit the grant, we tabled that. This particular resolution tonight is an effort to be transparent with council and to the public that the city is moving forward with this project. We have a debrief scheduled on that grant application that we didn't get, and will likely apply for the same grant in the next cycle. But having this ironed out would be a big part of that. And basically, this just allows both companies to have their liabilities protected. So Mattson's interest specifically is in making sure that the crane tie down mechanisms meet the qualifications and the requirements of the crane itself so that it has the capacity to hold it against winds and so on and so forth. The city's concern in that whole process is that we don't undermine the integrity of our dock because they're going to have to drive pilings for that new crane tie down system. So this memorandum of understanding, and certainly we can bring this back before the council, but this is just to make sure that council is blessing us moving forward with negotiating in the best interest of the city and representing our customer base and the long-term agreement with Mattson. Does that clarify?
So, yes. So the other MOU we had, did that have an expiration? That has some clause or expiration date on it. Are we going to have to revisit that one too then?
We may have to revisit that if we apply. That went with that specific grant, but it wouldn't be anything significantly different.
Thank you.
No, I was wondering about what the discussion was, but I support the management, which is inclusive of the ports director and finance and everyone else that dealing with Mattson. You know, I understand what you said. You need to have some support from the council to move forward to negotiate and at some point sign this agreement, MOU. I don't know where, if council wants to, and as the ports director did say, that we'll be able to review the MOU when it's finally negotiated. I don't have a problem with council moving forward with this resolution and getting it at least so that it protects the city's interest, is what I'm understanding in this process.
Yes, that's the goal.
Thank you. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, so if the grant, if we didn't get the grant, so if we move forward with this project, so is the cost of the tie downs going to be the city's cost then?
No. The original discussion of the cost of the tie downs, we will still have a resurfacing project, which is why we were able to partner with that grant. The city will still be responsible for the resurfacing portion of that, but the actual infrastructure for the crane tie downs will be at the expense of Mattson.
Okay, and then I see also we have the crane stops are listed in here. Is that also Is that part of Matson's plan or their?
Correct. And it's just the southern crane stop because that was original to the construction in 1993, and they just need a beefier system subsurface for that.
Okay, great. So I tend to agree that I would also like to see sign taken out of here. I'd like to see the contract before we actually sign it, but I could definitely give approval for the city manager to negotiate one, but I think we should look at these contracts. I know I felt that before when, you know, Councilman Coleman had mentioned that before and we went ahead and passed it, you know, passed that contract anyway. But I think going forward, we probably should try to, you know, read through it before we actually sign our name to it. So anyway, I would be in support of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Louie. Councilman Bell.
Make a motion to amend this resolution and remove and sign on that paragraph that is listed up there on that screen. Now therefore be it resolved, where it says city manager to negotiate and sign a memorandum.
I'll second that.
You're removing and sign? Councilman Bell moved to amend. First, now therefore be resolved the wording of and sign removed. Is there a second? Second by Councilman Luby. And I understand what's being said here, but how does that affect the moving forward for a week?
It's really just about timing. I mean, keep in mind this MOU has absolutely no financial bearing. So when we sign that agreement, it really just locks us into the engineering process of who's responsible for what part of the project. But in terms of you reviewing the document before it's signed, it's just about a timing thing. So, you know, as soon as the city manager and I are able to come to an agreement with Matson, we can certainly bring that back before you.
Okay, thank you. That's been Bell, then Luby.
A lot of these. Thank you, Mayor. You know, I think a lot of these MOUs are pretty much going to be a rubber stamp. But it's still incumbent upon us to, as a council, to at least do a cursory read. There, a lot of these MOUs do have some kind of financial implication because they talk about different, you know, aspects of who's responsible for what. So there could be that part of it. They don't always have money dollar amounts attached to them. Just through the process, transparency, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, and then the other thing is the liability, you know, on the city's part. So, which I believe is one of the main parts for, you know,
that's our biggest concern
for doing this. So, so liability, you know, for me, those
Mr. Mayor.
Got to. So, anyway, that's I just wanted to clarify that thank as well.
Thank you, Councilman Bell, Councilman Tungle.
Yeah, I'll be in full support of this, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, the city manager negotiate and sign. This don't mean it's going to go forward all the way. This is something they can start with to do the design and everything on it. And I'm pretty sure it's going to go through a legal process before it get done. And we'll see it again before it get really up. And this is just a negotiation to sign a memorandum. So they can move forward on the design and everything that goes with it. So I'll be in full support the way it's written.
Thank you, Councilman Angle. Anyone else? Okay. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. City Council approves resolution 2024-51. 2024-52. And that is amended. One amendment, right? So amendments on the floor to remove the wording on the first, therefore be it resolved and signed, be removed. Intent is to get this back to the council prior to signature. So roll call, please.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
No.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 4 yeses and 1 no, the amendment passes. Now to the main motion as amended, 2024-52, authorizing the city manager to negotiate the memorandum of understanding with Matson Shipping for engineering service for crane infrastructure at the Analaska Marine Center. City clerk, has anyone signed up? Public comment?
No, Mayor.
Anybody on Zoom or telephone? Or...
No, Mayor.
I'll request a roll call vote.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yeses and 0 nays. Resolution 2024-52 has been approved. Council directives to the city manager need to be in a motion and seconded. Having none. Community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity for to provide information to the council or make announcements. 3-minute time limit. There he is.
Just pass out to the public. A quick announcement. Through KUCB and with some collaboration with Matson, one of the local athletic teams is also going to be selling Christmas trees this year. So look for advertisements and announcements coming out for that. The girls are going to kill me because I didn't plan for this. I just thought of it. But they'll be announcing stuff, and they can call the office of my store because my employees volunteered to help put this together as well. So we'll be sponsoring as well. So there will be real Christmas trees, I believe, showing up in Matson on the D7 on Friday, and hopefully start selling on Friday or Saturday.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else in chambers? Anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No, Mayor.
Thank you. You do? Almost late. Go ahead. Councilman Luby.
I just want to just let it be known that our Unalaska girls volleyball team has made it to state, and so we should all support them. And my understanding is if they win state, they will be the first girls sports team to go to state in Alaska. So everybody should cheer them on and control. I don't think the girls basketball. The boys did. The girls did?
Yes, okay. The girls did go. It was years ago. They did go to state. They got third.
They never win state. So if the girls volleyball wins state, they will be the very first Unalaska team. So let's cheer them on. Thanks, everybody.
When is that?
I believe it's the 5th and 6th of December, I believe. Okay. Is that when it is?
Right, 5th and 6th of December in Anchorage?
Yes, and they usually – Palmer? Palmer, okay, so yeah, sorry. And it's usually, KUCB usually broadcasts it or the school that they're at. A lot of times they'll broadcast it so you can watch it online too. So,
well, congratulations. Hopefully they win. Okay. Yes.
She can kill me tomorrow. Happy birthday, Larissa. Thank you for spending your evening with us on your birthday. We appreciate it.
That tomorrow, happy birthday. Well, having completed all the items on our agenda, we're adjourned at 8:08 p.m. Good night, Unalaska. Happy anniversary.